Welcome to the Insights Podcast, giving you all the insights into the heat network industry. I'm Aileen from Inside Energy, and together with our guests, we'll explore how to bring this cost-effective, low-carbon heat closer to our residents than ever before.
That's really what's been key, is being able to make the CSAs kind of the best versions of themselves, but without actually trying to change who they are as a person. Because I think it's so important to work in an environment where you can be authentically yourself, rather than working for a company that tries to mold you into a different version of yourself.
Hello, hello, and welcome to our first Insights podcast powered by Inside Energy. Inside Energy are metering and billing and maintenance provider for heat networks across the UK. And as we are talking about Insight, let's delve a little more into our customer services. We currently hold the highest rating on Trustpilot in the heat network metering and billing industry. That's certainly no easy feat, considering we manage over 30,000 meter points. So we wouldn't have gotten here without one person and her wonderful team. You may have guessed it. Today, I'm joined by our head of customer services, Carly Freeman. She has been part of our lovely team for nearly 4 years, in which time a lot has changed. But let's start from the beginning.
The first question we have for you today is, why is customer service so important to Inside Energy, and why should it be important to other companies too?
When I first started, obviously, back in August 2019, the customer service that Insight Energy were offering just wasn't in a great situation at all. There was a lot of churn and a lot of turnover in the team, and there was a big backlog of complaints and just ongoing issues, backlogs of emails and all sorts of things. Really, my main goal when I first started was obviously to improve that. That was my main challenge. We started on, I think, half a star on Trustpilot, 1.4, I think it was, and I have obviously managed to turn that around. Why I think it's so important is, especially now at the moment with the cost of living crisis, I think the customer service and our customer service agents are our first point of contact for our residents, obviously, and most of the time our only point of contact across the business. And I think that everybody's having a hard time, you know, customers and our residents at the end of the day want to speak to somebody who is empathetic, who knows how to have a conversation, and who is able to solve their problem, hopefully first time with them only making one phone call. So I think the team managed to do that really, really well.
No, definitely, fully agree. And yeah, as you mentioned, so in 2019, we only had a 1.4 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot. And currently, we maintain a rating of between 4.4 to 4.7 out of 5, which according to Trustpilot is ranked as excellent, which is just amazing to see. But yeah, basically, how did you improve our rating so drastically over the course of just 2 years? Because I believe in 2021, we kind of skyrocketed to 4.7. So yeah, how did you kind of improve that so quickly?
The first point is obviously recruitment. So my main sort of challenge at the beginning was to recruit a whole brand new team. So recruitment was so important. Kind of looked for people who had, you know, the right attitudes, good personality, who were charismatic, who could hold a good conversation with a person, and people who could build that rapport with residents over the phone. And I think that's what we did straight off the bat, to be honest. Our culture was there from day one. It was very much a mentality of, we're all in this together, we can do this, guys, come on. And everybody was super motivated. And then we just went from strength to strength, really. I think getting to 4.7 was easier than maintaining the score, for sure. I think maintaining it is tough, especially now with the cost of living crisis. But again, it's about having the right people in the team. You know, our company values are always really important. I often talk to the guys about our company values, you know, one team and ownership, you know, in one-to-ones and training and things. It's kind of, well, what have you done to support your fellow team members? What have you done for a resident that was kind of going above and beyond, so that the residents feel like we are doing our best? And I think we have had to strive for a bit of a balance, though, to be honest there. I think some of the people in the team are the most amazing customer service advisors, but I think the problem is sometimes some of the team members can spend a little bit too long with the residents on the phone. And it's kind of like pulling back and being like, okay, well, if you're spending 25 minutes on a call with one person, that means you can't reach three other people, for example. So it's kind of about like finding that balance amongst the team that's kind of a healthy balance of offering the best customer service possible, but also making sure that we can answer all of the calls that are coming in.
That sounds very challenging, especially when you do want to be empathetic and then just kind of go on longer conversations. It's quite a fine line. So definitely like key from what I understood is without our CSAs and our customer service advisors, our customer services would be nearly non-existent probably. So what are some of the key traits that you consistently look for in customer service advisors, especially when hiring, but also kind of, you know, to try and keep helping them improve and build upon their existing skills?
I think initially, so interview stage, it's obviously attitude and personality is key. Like I just mentioned, you know, somebody who can hold a conversation and who is able to build that rapport with residents over the phone. Empathy as well, although that's really hard to gauge that from interview stage. But once people are hired and they're in the team, we coach a lot around emotional intelligence and self-awareness. We've had people in the team who have had issues with kind of getting defensive, for example, on the phone, and their tone can sometimes drop if somebody's being very rude to them, for example. And obviously then it's kind of coaching them through that journey of being like, well, what would you do differently next time, and getting them to listen to their own calls and kind of understanding the improvements that they can make themselves. Some of the team members have actually said, you know, what's nice about our kind of coaching mentality is that through that help that we've kind of offered them, other areas of their lives have improved as well, for example. You know, because if somebody's naturally defensive, that's going to be a problem kind of across their lives rather than just in their, as part of their work life. And we've had some people say, you know, that their family has even mentioned, you know, in terms of their emotional reactivity, for example, and just how self-aware they are. And then actually come back and kind of said, you know, thank you for kind of helping me on this journey of self-improvement. And I think that's really what's been key, is being able to make the CSAs kind of the best versions of themselves, but without actually trying to change who they are as a person. Because I think it's so important to work in an environment where you can be authentically yourself rather than working for a company that tries to mold you into a different version of yourself, if that kind of makes sense.
No, definitely. I think it's amazing to even hear that feedback of helping them in other areas of their life, which, I mean, as much as, you know, work-life balance, there is always a bit of a crossover. Definitely. But I think when it's like in a positive way like this, it's definitely great.
We've been really lucky, I think, to kind of have some real characters in the team, you know, and some real people who do strive and who do kind of listen to the feedback. I think that's the most important thing, isn't it? Is having a team that are able to sit, listen to the feedback, digest it, and then actually make the necessary improvements.
Yeah, definitely. With empathy, it is quite central to a customer service strategy, even though it's not something we can really gauge from the beginning. I do think, like, from kind of a copywriting point of view, empathy can be quite an all-encompassing word. Yep. So it can kind of mean a lot of things. What does empathy really look like to you, and how do you encourage the team to be more empathetic as well?
For me and the team, it's being able to put ourselves in the customer's and the resident's shoes. That's often what I say to the team. If they're having a difficult conversation, I kind of say, well, you know, put yourself in the resident's shoes. And it's also important to mention that kind of whole self-awareness piece. If somebody is having a difficult day or having a bad day, the resident might not be in the best place to be having that phone call. And then obviously that in turn kind of gets passed on to the customer service advisor. So I'll often say to the team, don't take it personally. They might just be having a really, really terrible day. And then you can kind of see the customer service advisor kind of sit back and think about it. And then they're kind of able to remain calm, you know, when they sort of realize it's not actually about them if they're having a really, really difficult call. Mm-hmm. In terms of empathy as well, I think one of the things to just kind of go back to our culture is I think we really have a good environment of a team who sort of genuinely care and respect each other. And I think that ultimately feeds down into the residents. I think we all look after each other a lot. And I think then that sort of empathy gets passed down onto our residents, really. You know, I really like that that quote that says that a boss thinks the employees are present to serve them, but a leader knows that the leader is there to serve the employees. That's kind of the mentality that we instill across the customer service team, from myself and then onto the team leaders and then kind of onto the teams, is, you know, how can we better support the guys in the team? How are we looking after them? Do they have everything they need to kind of ensure that they're able to offer the best customer service?
Kind of what you said before as well, where some residents might be having a bad day and then that kind of reflects on how they're speaking to our CSAs. But I think the other way as well, if someone's having a bad day at work, which is definitely more likely if you're in a team that doesn't support you, then that would reflect on how they speak to our customers as well. So it's definitely a two-way street on that respect.
It's tough for customer service advisors, especially now, if you can imagine, with the cost of living crisis, everybody's frustrated, prices are going up. In terms of what empathy means for me, that's one of the things that I sort of lead on to, is that I hear the team sort of saying to residents, oh, you know, we're all in the same situation. So it's kind of creating this mentality of we're all in this together. And they'll talk about their own bills, their own energy bills on the phone with residents. And I hear team members talking about heated blankets and things like that. And if you lower your kind of thermostat 1 degree, how much saving that could have for you. And I think it's about having those real conversations. And it's easy to see the kind of positive feedback from those conversations, from a lot of the Trustpilot reviews at the moment, despite the fact that we are going through a cost of living crisis at the moment.
Cost of living has definitely been a big part. And as you mentioned, it's something that the entire nation has been dealing with over the past few months, which also kind of led into the energy crisis. And more specifically, the news has kind of indicated that energy prices will slowly be improving again. And that's also reflected in the government support that will be available from April. But it certainly does not take away from the tough winter that we have faced so far. And it's also a bit unsure of how long this is going to last. So working in the energy sector, we've been faced with a few challenges for sure. But what has been the main challenges for our customer services, and how did you and the team overcome this?
Really, it's been around the fact that we don't actually control the tariffs. Obviously, as the metering and billing provider, we help support heat providers and our clients with these tariff calculations. Ultimately, residents assume that we set these tariffs ourselves and that we are able to make a profit from these increases. And that's just not the case. Once that kind of started to happen, we took on a lot of resident feedback and we tried our best to very quickly improve on kind of resident communication to make sure that residents understood that the increases in tariffs were due to increases in gas prices. One of the biggest complaints across heat networks, not just for us, but across the board, was, you know, lack of transparency in terms of how these daily fixed charges and unit charges are calculated. So that's one thing we really tried to turn around, you know, is that we then started to create tariff breakdowns to be 100% clear on what's actually included in the calculation of their specific tariffs. And, you know, that sort of takes into consideration things around how efficient the heat network is in the block, for example. And I think that's the issue, I think, is really the misunderstanding of how it all works. So there's kind of been a real education piece that we've tried our best to achieve with helping residents really understand how it actually all works, rather than them thinking, you know, we're just increasing the prices and we're making money off of it, which obviously isn't the case.
Yeah, I mean, I live on a heat network myself, not managed by Inside Energy, but we've got like a group chat with the rest of the building, and a lot of it is just like kind of misunderstanding of how our heating works. Someone thinks that our building's actually gasless, which it's not. Like, obviously, you've got like the boiler in the plant.
So you're
room and stuff,
like the all-knowing oracle, aren't you, being able to explain everything to them?
Yeah, literally, it's just like, nope, this is how it works. I think because it is still quite a new technology, even though it's been in the UK for quite a while now, I think a lot more people are moving onto it, and it's a completely different system from like your kind of traditional gas boiler. I think it's just a lot for people to get used to, but I think like having this educational piece to hand is definitely like one step to, you know, better understanding how it works, and then also better understanding where prices and stuff come from.
And I think that's what's nice about working at Insight, is that because we are an SME, we can actually listen to feedback. there's been so many situations where we've had real specific feedback from residents, and it's kind of, thank you so much for the feedback. Like, this is really constructive. It's so helpful to hear what people think and what changes they think are necessary and how we can do things better. And then we actually have so many times in the past kind of put those changes into action to make sure that, you know, residents have the best journey possible, really.
That was our five questions, but I did throw in a little bonus questions just to get to know you as a person a little better.
Okay.
So working in the content industry myself, I subconsciously like constantly seem to notice like bad design practice or bad copywriting or grammar mistakes or anything like that. I'm sure that you have experienced stuff in the same way, but then from a customer service perspective, without naming any names or companies, has there been a time when you yourself have experienced bad customer service? And if you were in their position, what would you have done instead?
Oh my gosh, too many. How long have you got? The main one I think that pops into my mind was actually a car insurance company that I was using a little while back. And every year they'd kind of send me an email saying, this is going to be your price for the following 12 months. And the last time that happened, it was really, really high, a lot higher than kind of what I thought I should be paying for my car insurance. So I responded to the email and just said, I'd really like to understand why it's so high. I mean, I don't really understand how car insurance works and how they kind of calculate their quotes. So I was just asking a question. And I got a one-line response from their customer service team just saying, this is the best price we can offer. With not even a kind of have a good day, no kind of positive phrases in there, just very much one liner, full stop. I just felt quite disappointed, obviously, as you would. Yes, and I responded to the email. I responded to the email and they probably didn't like me very much when they read my response. But I responded to the email and I just said, I'd really like to understand why that's the best price that you can offer me at this point in time. And then I said that I worked in a customer service team and that I didn't think that the one line response was good enough. And then I kind of gave bullet points of how I think they could improve their email responses. And safe to say, I never got a response. So never heard anything back after that, funnily enough. Yeah. And well, anyway, I ended up changing car insurance companies. So I found a much cheaper quote somewhere else. But I just thought to myself, if that was kind of a resident's response to an email that we had sent from Insight, it would have been a completely different story. Most of the time when residents give feedback, the CSAs pass it over to me and I respond. And I think in that situation, I probably would have responded and said, no, really, really sorry for the kind of lack of explanation. You're absolutely right. You know, we should be including more of an explanation so that customers can actually understand how it all works. And I never got that explanation and I still don't really understand how they calculate their quotes. So, you know, back to square one, really. Yeah, I think it's just about the acknowledgement of the fact that you're not going to be able to get it right 100% of the time, but then learning from it and building on it to ensure that you kind of are taking feedback seriously. Like I said, I would have definitely responded to that email myself probably and said, you're absolutely right. You know, I'll give feedback to the relevant CSA that responded to your email. But obviously that never happened, sadly.
Even just like changing car insurance company on the back of that, I think it's a completely understandable reaction, but it does really highlight the importance of like good customer service. And
absolutely.
It's very true as well that we can't all be perfect. And yep. I mean, the most important thing is to just kind of always be looking for ways to improve, especially like when it comes to customer service as well and customer experience.
That's one thing we really believe in here as well, is that, you know, if we do make a mistake, we will hold our hands up, you know, and say, you know, we're really, really sorry. This was absolutely our mistake. What can we do to kind of turn this around for you? But clearly other companies just aren't doing that.
You've mentioned a few times that we do listen a lot to customer feedback, though, just to kind of help some of the residents that may be listening or reading the blog post. What would be the best way for them to provide any feedback that they have for a customer services team?
I think probably just on an email, really, would probably suffice. Like I said, the team always send any feedback over to me. But then again, to be fair, it also, you know, phone or email or web chat, really any of our channels, I think, to give feedback. The CSAs even have had residents kind of on a call and have come over to me before and said, you know, this resident said X, Y, Z, and I agree with them. I think, you know, this would be a, an improved journey for the residents. And it's kind of like, yep, tell them thank you. We'll take that, you know, into consideration and see if we can implement that moving forward. So really any of the channels I think would work, because it all gets back to me anyway.
That's great to hear. All right, well, that was all the questions that I had for you. So thank you so much for joining me today, Carly, and for sharing all your insights. Hopefully it will help any people working in customer service, but other than that, also just kind of give a bit more backstory to our residents and clients to kind of how we operate in the background a bit. It's absolutely incredible to see as well what the customer services team has achieved in the past few years, and especially in the past 6 months with the energy crisis and stuff. Quite a tricky situation to deal with.
Definitely.
But yeah, definitely can't wait to see what wonderful things are yet to come for customer services team here at Insights. And thank you to our listeners. I hope you did find this very useful and could take away a few tips and tricks. And for any residents listening, you heard that we're always open to hearing feedback. So please do contact us via any of our channels, and we'd be happy to pass it on to Carly and the rest of the customer services team to kind of see where we can improve.
Thank you so much, Aileen, and thank you for having me.
No worries at all. Have a lovely day, everyone.